Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week, in our study of Hebrews chapter 13, we were taught the importance of Christians to pray for pastors and others who are in authority over us. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
My friend, there is no higher ministry and no more important office than that office and ministry of intercessor. And that is what the Lord Jesus does for us today. You think that the ministry of intercession is unimportant? That it is a minor ministry? It's the main ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Don't undervalue it. My friend, I hope that you will put me on your prayer list and you'll keep me daily before the Lord, that I'll be right in doctrine, in the teaching of the Word, and God would give me the strength and the knowledge and the ability to keep on keeping on all my days. And if my days should be long upon the earth, that I will to the dying breath still preach Jesus. Oh, I hope that you'll keep me in your prayers, that I'll have that special utterance that does not allow anyone to be indifferent to the Word of God, that the mighty power of God will be upon me. Why? To bring glory to His name, to bring souls to the Savior, to be pleasing unto Him. Now, the Apostle indicates that the prayers as these of God's people, regardless of their age, makes a difference in ministry. Look at verse 19. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, wouldn't you think that, well, the Paul prays to be restored sooner, certainly that would come about. Paul says, hey, I'm needing your prayers that I might be restored the sooner. Remember Peter when the church was gathered together for prayer while he was in prison? Do you think that he just didn't care and didn't pray at all? Oh, no, I'm sure that he prayed. The more earnestly you pray for your pastor, the greater spiritual benefit you will receive from the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ through him. I had a senior saint in my congregation years ago, and he's with the Lord now. But after he'd been there about 2 or 3 years, he walked up to me one day and he said, Brother Andy, you have grown in the Lord. You've grown in the knowledge of the Word, and your preaching is much better. And because you've grown, I have grown. You know, I praise the Lord for that. If I don't grow, the people don't grow. And boy, that just made me so aware of the responsibility I have to grow in the grace as well as in the knowledge of Christ and of His wonderful Word. Remember now that when he says in verse 18, I have a good conscience, he means he is ready to be examined at God's judgment seat. And he knows their prayers for him will prove that he's received God's granting of their request. With trustworthiness, grace, and the care they deserve. Verse 20 and 21 then takes us to the instruction on the goal. Instruction on the goal. Let's look at verse 20 first, because verse 20 will show through Christ, and verse 21 will show the goals reached through him. Verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood of the everlasting covenant. Now think of that. Isn't that something? The blood of the everlasting covenant. I guess I just can't get over that. Now, this shows beautiful language and truth. The God of peace, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And reference is made to the fact that the deity of God brought back the humanity of Christ from the dead. But instead of a period after Jesus, there's a comma, and the phrase is added, the great shepherd of the sheep. Yes, he is the chief shepherd. This is connecting his resurrection with the resurrection of we who are his sheep. And our assurance and security is based on the blood of the eternal covenant. And my friend, it is everlasting. That, my friend, is security. But he refers to himself also as the great shepherd. Why? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. The elders, again, that's the pastors which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder. Peter was a pastor, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now notice what he tells the elders to do. Verse 2, 1 Peter 5. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither spend lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. The pastor is an under-shepherd, but Jesus is the chief shepherd. And that is why being an under-shepherd, one who carries out the word and the call of God and the message of God, and he is God's messenger, that's why his judgment is greater on pastors. And we see the goal here in verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the word perfect has the idea of making us fit for service. God will perfectly equip you for whatever he has called you to do. Now you may feel unworthy, and you know God is calling you to do something. You say, I can't do it. I'm not worthy to do it. Well, listen, I've been in the ministry for over 30-some-odd years, and I'm not worthy of it. I wasn't worthy of it day one, and here, 30-some-odd years later, I'm still not worthy. But God called me, and he equipped me. And God will equip you for whatever he's called you to do. I remember in my first church, a man was going to have a throat operation. He was told he'd have a 50-50 chance. And I went to the hospital room to pray with him, and you know, before I prayed with him, it's a day before the surgery, and, I've never done this before. I've never done it since. But as we were talking with him there, he says, Pastor, pray that I'll be completely healed, that I'll be able to talk as well, that I won't die. And I said to him, well, let's imagine. That's not God's will. Maybe it's God's will to take you on home. What then? Would you want me to pray that God's will be done? He said, no, don't pray that way. So I said, you're not really wanting God's will to be done. Now, look, never talk to somebody in a hospital like that. Never. I still to this day believe that I was led to the Lord, because I would have been yelling at you if you'd been doing it. And this guy wasn't happy with me. And I'm saying, you told me that you were willing to clean bathrooms, that you were willing to do anything, any of the most servile work that the Lord will just spare you. But I says, if the Lord won't spare you, then you're not really willing to have anything dedicated to him. We went on for about 40 minutes like that arguing. But finally, he got to the point. He finally said, okay, whatever is God's will, I'll do it. If it's to take me home, I'll have to trust my family to him. that point, I said, okay, now, have you ever felt like God was moving in your heart to do anything? Was he ever calling you something? He said, well, I felt like he's called me to preach, but here I am a middle-aged man, and I kind of ignored that, and he already had a college education. And I says, well, you don't have to be a certain age in order to follow the call of God. Well, he had the surgery, and after the surgery, he could not talk. He lost his voice. And the doctor said he may never get his voice back. And he said, what should I do? And I said, well, whatever the Lord's will is, but if he's called you to preach, you need to go prepare. And I think one of the last things I ever said to that man before he left to go away to seminary, I said, give me a telephone call when God gives you your voice back. 7 years later, God gave him his voice back. Now, folks, I'm not one of these weird TV guys that laying his hands on people and doing things like that. That's nothing about it. It was nothing of me. That was totally the Holy Spirit of God. I would have never planned any of it. And I would have never said any of that that I said. That was totally the Spirit of God. But what I'm trying to point out is that God gave that man the voice when he needed a voice. After he finished his seminary, after he had all this preparation, then God gave him the voice when he is ready to put him into a ministry for which he was calling. Moses did not think he could lead the children of Israel because he could not talk well. Many of his limitations, he thought, would keep him from doing the will of God. But Moses, thinking in the physical realm of speaking, and the fact that he was old, he's 80 years old, and lacking authority, well, this guy actually had an Egyptian training, education, he was probably equal to a PhD. So when we look at our talents and abilities, instead of looking into Jesus, you know what? We'll find out we can't do it either. People who depend on their talents and abilities before God instead of his Spirit will fail. In Zechariah 4:6, it says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I think of old Dr. Phillips. Dr. Phillips wrote a commentary on Hebrews, which I've shared several things from his commentary with you over these months that we've been in this word. But you know his home church, although he was trained in England, the best universities, very learned man, well-educated, earned doctorates, and just a very sophisticated, intelligent man. He retired in North Carolina and went to the church that his pastor didn't have but a high school education. And he probably would have told you that that was the best pastor he ever had. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send it your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.